think gene editing is going to be more common, especially when it comes to bioenergy, biofuels.
Welcome to Ag Bioscience, the number one podcast in the world for innovation in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture. Here is your host, Agrinovis CEO, Mitch Fraser.
Welcome back to Ag Bioscience. Capital and science, two key ingredients that are shaping the future of the ag bioscience economy. And one leader is bringing the power of smart science and smart capital together to shape the future of ag bioscience. She joins us today. Dr. Jali Dai is a partner, the managing partner of Aurora Equity, and she joins us now. Dr. Dai, it is wonderful to see you. Thanks for joining us on Ag Bioscience.
Well, thank you so much. Please call me Jale. I'm so pleased to be with you, and I'm really appreciative of the opportunity you're giving me to discuss very key, important, and something that is close to my heart.
Well, Jale, you have been an amazing educator and a scientist, an entrepreneur, now investor. I would love if we just start with give us a current state of the risk capital market. Maybe not even into venture capital or private equity, but just at large, where are we in ag bioscience, and what's the current state of the risk capital market?
Very good question. I think if I had to use just one word to describe the state of play right now, I would say cautious, or I may say slow motion. And if you want me to elaborate on that, I'm happy to do so. Basically, we have done a round trip in terms of funding, raising money, and also investing in startups. We have, in the last 6 years, from, let's say, 2018, 2019 to today, in a 6 year, we have done a big round trip. The peak for investment was in 2021, at about, for ag tech and food tech, broadly speaking, and sure, globally, I'm not just talking about US, it was about $53 billion globally in 2021. That's the peak. Well, in 2019-18, pre-pandemic, we were running roughly 25, 30-ish. So we went to 53, then we came down 22, 23, we came down all the way to about roughly $30 billion. And for this year, the projection is we're going to be somewhere between $25 to $30 billion. So roughly speaking, a 50% decline.
Wow.
In investment in ag tech. Now, I have to qualify this by saying it is no different than overall venture investment. So it's not like ag tech is being treated differently. In fact, I think those that are not generalist VCs, generalist meaning they invest in everything, but they're focused on life sciences, I think they're paying more attention to agriculture, investing more cautiously, but still with enthusiasm for certain verticals within the ag tech and food tech.
I think coming out of the pandemic, we saw a lot of focus on the food system. I think it became more approachable to so many, whether in venture capital, private equity, even just consumers at large. Jale, as you think about your work at Aurora Equity, your work as a scientist, as an entrepreneur, as an educator, long before you became an investor, has given you a really unique position in this evolving market, this challenging market, to create some differentiation. How has your focus on science really created some maybe unique abilities for you at Aurora?
Well, you know, I want to say that I have been so fortunate to be in an area where at least I believe I'm doing good for humanity. Trying to provide sufficient food, affordable food, for the entire population of the world. I think it's a good cause, and I've been fortunate to be in it. So my PhD was in plant biology, and then my first 21st years of my career, I was an academic doing research, and I was chairman of a crop science department. And if I may sort of sidetrack a little bit here, I was the first woman ever to be chairman of a crop science department. So I've been fortunate in that way. So now, I mean, on the for-profit side of it, and I think it's very helpful. Actually, my background has been very helpful because most of the, you probably will know, most of the VCs are staffed with lawyers and MBAs, basically.
Right.
And there are a few biologists here and there if they're interested in life sciences. They have a few engineers for tech investments. But they have there are very few people who have deep domain expertise in agriculture, including in many VC firms that invest in ag tech. There are some VCs that are dedicated to agriculture and food. They do have biology PhD or agriculture biology PhDs. But outside of the dedicated ag tech, food tech companies, you don't see a lot. So it's been very helpful to me because as I work with my colleagues or mostly MBAs and lawyers, I bring the science dimension and sort of as we analyze the IP and that sort of thing, I can add to the conversation from a scientific point of view.
You recently co-wrote a report that I think brings that science-forward approach to investing. You call this the fourth generation, a 4G of agriculture, I believe is how you framed it in the article, really looking at sustainability, both economic sustainability as well as ecologic sustainability. Give us an idea where you believe we are in this 4G evolution of agriculture.
Well, the reason I called it 4G is because I, looking at history, there were inflection points. The last one before this was the Green Revolution of Norm Borlaug, as you well know.
Sure.
So that's why I call it fourth generation. And the way I look at it with technology, digital, or you could call it digital agriculture, I think we are only in the third inning. We are just beginning, actually. It's a new industry or investment area, and a lot of people are attracted to it currently because ag tech is considered now climate tech. Many VCs who were not even aware of or cared about ag tech, they realized that agriculture is a major contributor of the greenhouse gases emissions. About one third of all the GHGs are emanating from agriculture activity, from farm to your kitchen. So many VCs who want to invest in climate tech, now they pick up ag tech as part of their portfolio of climate tech investments. So I think it's early, it's exciting. In some areas, we got way ahead of our skis in the height of the cheap money, zero cost of capital. There was huge amounts of money that went into things like alternative proteins, plant-based proteins. That is not to say anything negative about that, but we got ahead of our skis. The kind of money was like silly money chasing something that needed a little bit more thoughtfulness. I think we have got out of that madness. There is a little bit of chase with AI now. Everything, I hear presentations nowadays.
Everything's AI.
The sort of language has become AI, AI, AI. So one has to be now careful about that. But I think there are so many opportunities and we are so early. I'm very excited about the whole vertical.
Well, there's so much to be excited about, particularly as a scientist. You have pioneered plant science. You talk about your early work in biology, your work as an academic. Eager to get your perspective on this, you look at gene editing and the amazing amounts of innovation that are happening in gene editing. We look at the rapid rise of biologicals. give us a sense. Where do you see in this 4G evolution, what role do plant science innovations like gene editing, biologicals play in shaping this next chapter of the future?
Well, I think you're asking a question related to one of the most active areas of investment right now. Ag biotech is attracting quite a bit of interest, investment interest. And there are two pieces of that ag biotech that are actually grabbing most of the investment. One is the biomaterials.
Sure.
And the other one is bioenergy. These two areas are attracting quite a bit of interest. And I think my guess is it's going to continue for the next 2-3 years because I think the big leaps are going to happen in these areas. You ask about the gene editing. Well, gene editing is now approved in the U.S. for crops. We had the first CRISPR tomato. I don't know if you have tasted it. The purple tomato, which was developed.
I haven't tasted it yet.
I was in a test phase before it was released to the public. It's really, really good. And to pass my test phase, I think is something to say because I'm a super taster. Really, I taste things that most people miss when they take the same bite. So I think gene editing is going to be more common, especially when it comes to bioenergy, biofuels, and I think biomaterials. These two areas can use the CRISPR gene editing technologies to develop new products that could be, you know, not only address ag needs and farmers' needs in terms of income, but also addressing climate issues and risks.
How will science shape the future of ag bioscience? We'll dig into it right after this. Ag Bioscience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
A healthy company is a blessing, but a well-insured company is a necessity. That's why Indiana Farm Bureau offers more affordable health plans for eligible members. Whether you have just a handful of employees or a larger enterprise, building a stable business demands employees who are just as strong and healthy. Indiana Farm Bureau can help with health plans that include medical, dental, vision, and Medicare supplement insurance plans. And you can sign up for membership and apply for an Indiana Farm Bureau health plan any time of year. Indiana Farm Bureau understands the cost of healthcare has rapidly become one of the largest expenses for many small businesses. We invite you to compare our health plans to your current coverage. We're confident you could find significant savings. To learn more about the health plan that's right for you, visit infbhealthplans.com and make the switch today.
Welcome back to Ag Bioscience. We're talking with Dr. Jale Dayi, who is managing partner at Aurora Equity. Jale, it has been fascinating to look at the science portion of this 4G future that you look in agriculture. I want to look at digital. Digital has been so much. You talked earlier about everything is AI that you see across your desk in terms of investment. But we've seen a lot of work in AI. We've seen a lot of work in digital twins applied to production agriculture all the way through the food system. How are you thinking about digital as part of this next chapter?
I think there are going to be significant changes coming to all aspects of life sciences powered by AI capabilities. You know, for pharma, biotech companies, it takes 10, 12 years before you can commercialize an idea. It's a very long time. Part of it is because of the computational capabilities that we didn't have in the past. Now, I think with the power of AI, significant changes are coming our way because the AI-powered capabilities. What it would do is accelerate drug development for pharmaceuticals. Same thing, you know, you can call it accelerating development of biologics in the ag tech sectors. I think AI-powered automation is going to be so important on the upstream farm management side of things. You know, we have drones, obviously. Automation is coming our way. It's getting more and more sophisticated and less expensive as it scales up. So I think when a drone goes over a field, the digital twin, as opposed to just some simulation and things like that, it's real-time data, real-time analytics, backed by AI. And so you can be far more effective in whatever it is you're doing, whether you're monitoring insect populations or you're monitoring water, soil dryness. I think these are all going to be easier, faster, and hopefully cheaper as we as technology develops. They become cheaper. They become more advanced and less expensive. So the other areas, so I'm excited about the upstream farm management part of it with automation and AI-powered automation and robotics. But also, I think with the downstream food side, restaurants, food delivery, consumer-facing, AI is going to be a major force as well. For example, with the power of AI, we can now do precision nutrition, personalized nutrition, where you can decide, you know, based on your genetic background, you can be choosing exactly what is best for you rather than just, you know, whatever people think is good for you. You know, I really think the impact of AI is going to be the greatest in life sciences. And here's the reason, at least, that I, in my own head, analyze. Biology is not physics. Physics follows strict rules and laws. Biology has, obviously, laws and rules, but there are always exceptions. And many things we do, let's say, in biologics developments, breeding, or biotech targeting, they all have to be tested at the population level before they can get approval by FDA and USDA and those agencies. Which means population studies are very complicated, and AI can simplify in the sense of quick data analysis, bring us to the end point that we want to be much faster than the tools that we have had in the past.
Jale, I'm so glad you mentioned economics early on and this connection to food ultimately. You know, the current operating environment in the food system, really tough. Corn prices, an example, down 25% year over year. Okay. We see big equipment manufacturers forecasting sales down double digits. As you look at this current operating environment where we see, I think we can argue it's a margin squeeze at the farm gate, How do you think about the opportunities in this 4G future from the farm gate to the dinner plate? Is there opportunity amidst this challenging environment?
Of course there are opportunities, but we need to actually focus on a few things that because of cheap, zero interest money, we weren't thinking so much. We are beginning to be more thoughtful about what we are doing. One of the things we need to do as VCs, we need to work more with farmers, get their point of view. What is it that you need to improve your thin margin? You're so right about farmers' margins being very thin. Food margins also, groceries very thin. It's the middleman that gets most of the money. So we need to be working directly with farmers, get out of our offices and comfortable, you know, conferences and such, get in a Jeep, hopefully, or SUV, go to a farm and actually talk to farmers. What is it that you need? And then based on that, develop our solutions or invest accordingly. The other thing is, I think farmers, by using new technologies, I realize the upfront cost may be high, but let's take biologics. If you do biologics, even if it's not saving you money in terms of using pesticides, it allows you to have a premium, price premium over the conventional grow. So that's one way. The other way is by using biologics, you could be eligible for some carbon help or also, let me give you another example about how you can use things. These technologies can be used so that you can get carbon credits for it. Let's say there's a company that produces corn that would fix nitrogen from the air. They are associated with macroorganisms that can survive on corn roots and fix the nitrogen from the air. So now, because of that, it may not be cheaper to use that. You may come out evenly, but you can use carbon credits and such to augment your income. So there are ways, and I think there's one other thing I want to say in this area, and that is adoption, rate of adoption is not as fast as we would like it to be, rightly so, because farmers don't want to spend big money up front and not get improved margins. I think there may be ways to new business models that we can create that improves the situation. For example, why can't we purchase performance insurance? In other words, I come and buy a new technology, be it for input reduction or automation, cost of labor saving. How about if I had the ability to buy insurance for performance? So that's one thing. The other thing is the farm bill can contain more incentives for adoption of new technologies to just reduce the upfront cost for farmers. So I think we need to think about different ways of helping farmers improve their margin. Really, at the bottom of my heart, all I want to see is no hungry people and farmers who have better margin, so it stays in the family. The generation is not lost to farming, the younger generation. I don't want to see that happen. So we need to improve farmers' margins. No question about it.
Well, and I think capital, as we talked about at the top, capital and science, two key ingredients to make that future possible. As you look at that future, this idea where margin is available sort of across the, not sort of, margin is available across the food system from production all the way to the plate, where are you most optimistic? You know, we look at ag bioscience and we say animal health, plant science, ag tech, agriculture, food overall, all of those coming into this ag bioscience economy. When you think of that broad aperture, where is the greatest opportunity to make a change, this 4G future, a reality?
Well, I mean, all of these areas you mentioned are important. They all can contribute to improved sustainable agriculture. As I mentioned, there's quite a bit of interest right now. My own personal interest is more on the upstream farm management as opposed to downstream like restaurants, groceries, consumer-facing deliveries, that sort of thing. I think the critical changes are going to happen first at the farm level. Then we can worry about the rest of the supply, the value chain. You mentioned soil health. I think that's generating a lot of interest because that's the foundation for regenerative agriculture. The foundational mechanism for regen ag is healthy soil. And people are thinking about capturing some carbon credit by having healthier soil. So soil health is important. My own bias and interest is in the farm, upstream farm management. And actually, the statistics that I saw about a month ago in terms of where the ag investment dollars are going bears support to my point of view. There is a bigger decline in downstream investment relative to upstream investments. So I think overall, in the US at least, we are more focused on upstream farm management. And soil health is a big part of it. Biotech, you know, biomaterials, bioenergy, these are very key areas that money is willing to go if they see opportunities that are defendable and can scale. I think a big issue is scaling and the cost that it would require to scale to the point where the price, the economics work for the farmers.
She is Dr. Jale Dai, managing partner of Aurora Equity. Jale, it has been an absolute delight to have you on Ag Bioscience. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity.
And thank you for tuning into Ag Bioscience. You can always get the Ag Bioscience news you need online at agrinovusindiana.com. And you can now find us on YouTube as well in video format. And you can find us wherever we're going to be online at agrinovusindiana.com/quadrant. We'd love to see you in person. And on behalf of the entire Agrinovus team, I'm Mitch Frazier, saying thanks for listening. We look forward to seeing you real soon.
Ag Bioscience is a podcast by Agrinovus Indiana, hosted by Mitch Frazier, produced by Kayla Chittister and Fabian Rodriguez, photography and design by Kaylee Kerr. If you liked today's episode, subscribe, rate, and review so we can bring you more conversations just like this. Get all episodes of Ag Bioscience at agrinovusindiana.com.